at 7 o'clock, we'll start the Town of Discovery Bay regular Board of Directors meeting. If I could have everyone rise and join Director Gateau in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call to take it. We're here to show all members are present.
Great. Thank you so much. Now it's time for public comment. If you have any members of the public that would like to make a comment, up to 3 minutes, with anything that is not on the agenda, now would be the time to do that. Do we have anyone in the audience here that would like to make public comment? Seeing none, online?
There is some online.
Okay.
Hi, did everyone hear me okay?
Yeah, there we go. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Sorry, I don't know if my video is working here, but I'll just go ahead.
That's okay. We can hear you fine if you'd like to go ahead and start.
Okay, perfect. I'll just go ahead. All right. Well, thank you so much. My name is Dane Wadley. I'm one of the field coordinators with the California Special Districts Association, filling in tonight for Colleen Haley, who I know you know, who's our regular field coordinator. She's on maternity leave currently right now. She had her second child earlier this month, and so she didn't spend that quality time. But I'm filling in for her and have a couple of awards to present to the district on behalf of the Special District Leadership Foundation, which I know you're familiar with, the foundation arm of CSDA that has a mission of promoting, you know, good governance and best management practices in special districts. And so really pleased to start off with the District of Distinction Platinum level that you guys have recently earned. If you don't mind, I'll just go into just a little bit about the distinction program and kind of what it entails. I'll try to keep here within the 3 minute timeline for the public comments. But District of Distinction, obviously a way for districts to highlight, you know, their prudent fiscal practices and other areas of that are important to effectively operate a special district. Some specifics about the program and how you earn it involves a clean financial audits for at least 3 years, a number of, you know, central policies and procedures that you have in place, and then all of your directors and designated staff completing comprehensive training and governance and, you know, relevant laws related to special districts. And then, of course, for the platinum level, there's kind of even a higher level, because it shows that you can only get the platinum level if all the directors and your general manager completed our comprehensive governance training through our Special District Leadership Academy, and there's some continuing education required with that. And then finally, your general manager earning our certificate of Special District Manager designation. So it's quite an accomplishment, as I'm sure you're all aware and appreciate. I'll tell you that you are part of a very select group. There are only 12 districts in California who have this level of distinction at the platinum level. So out of the 2,000 special districts, so you're talking less than 1%. So it's again quite a lift. And you know, just as kind of a personal level, just, you know, real quick, I've been with CSDA for about 10 years and used to be the liaison out in the Bay Area Network before Colleen came on board. And, you know, you guys are always there for us. You guys are always at all the conferences. You're always at all the trainings, helping us with our advocacy efforts and doing so much for us. And we just can't emphasize at CSDA how much we appreciate what you guys do for us and help us out. And obviously going through this program and, you know, demonstrating your commitment to training and professional development and, you know, being a stellar example of a special district is something that we appreciate in our association. So we'd just love to just always appreciate being able to highlight that for districts such as yourself. So with that, I will go ahead and do the formal presentation. You've got the certificate pulled up. I understand the actual hard copy of our certificate is in transit in the mail, so you'll be receiving that soon. It's good for 3 years. Formally on behalf of the Special District Leadership Foundation, just want to present Town of Discovery Bay with the District of Town of Discovery Bay, CSD, excuse me, this District of Distinction Platinum Accreditation. on behalf of our board. So congratulations.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And then I also have, if we could as well, I understand that Margaret has, yes, there we go, all pulled out. So I talked a little bit about the special district, special district manager certification, which we have through SDLF as well. It's a voluntary designation that individuals seek. We also strive to be the best in the field. It requires a 2-hour exam covering various aspects of special district administration, such as, you know, governance, and legal requirements, and ethics, strategic planning, finance, etc., which obviously Margaret has, she passed. I can just say, kind of a little personal note here, as someone I've proctored a number of these exams for various individuals throughout my tenure at CSDA, and you have even the most kind of experienced managers and individuals who have a lot of experience in special districts will come out of that test going, boy, that was a tough test. So I just have to kind of give that little story as just a reflection of it's not just, 10 multiple choice questions on what is a special district and you get the certification. It's much more involved than that. Certainly, you know, a lot of studying and a lot of work went into that on the back end on Margaret's part. And again, it's, as I talked about in the previous one, we certainly appreciate Margaret going through, getting that certification, and striving to be the best in the field, in her field, and obviously as a reflection of SDLF and special districts and CSDA. So once again, appreciate it so much. And so with that, I'll just again formally on behalf of the Special District Leadership Foundation Board, present the Margaret, I'm going to get your last name wrong.
Moja? Close.
Okay.
Moja.
I'm sorry. That was my next one. Anyways, as a certified special district manager in recognition of a successful completion of the exam. So congratulations, Margaret. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for that.
Congratulations, Margaret. I think you're online, so
yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Congratulations.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great. Okay, with that, I will close public comment unless there's any other hand raised.
There is not.
Okay. We'll close public comment and move to the consent calendar.
I make a motion to approve consent calendar.
Second.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Buteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Kelly?
Aye. Thank you very much. And then moving to D1, presentations, Violia.
Good evening, board. Can y'all hear me?
Sure.
Okay. I figured so. Presenting water and wastewater monthly report for October. Nothing real spectacular happened in October. Sort of surely getting into cooler weather, time change, things like that. So we're starting to wrap up some of our maintenance and things like that on those stations to get ready for if we get any kind of rains, floods, things like that, like we've got in the last couple of years. We're lowering the lagoons and things like that to make sure we got room if something like that comes. Feel pretty comfortable the plants are ready for whatever gets thrown at us over the next couple of weeks through the holidays. Staffing's good. So in the month of October, safety, we focused on traffic control. Air protection and fire protection was our main topic. We had 479 safe working days, so we're doing pretty good. And as of actually yesterday and today, we just had our new regional safety coordinator from Veolia here assessing the entire project, all of our assets, and he came back with two minor findings. So that's cool. That means we're running the project safe, everything's looking good. One of the minors was we had some documentation filed too closely or stored too closely with MCC. And we moved that, and then we had to put our propane cylinders into an actual
can you elaborate a little bit on the traffic control? What exactly is that? Compromise.
Traffic control, so because we technically deal with mostly everything inside of Discovery Bay. We really don't deal with Highway 4 that much, other than crossing it, that's part of the assets and stuff. But we do deal with it when we're dealing with the back truck and when we're dealing with that summer at large, valve exercises as well. So we look at doing as much training as we can, even though we kind of outside of the requirements for most of California's traffic control for the work that we do, and we contract out pretty much anything else, but we do keep our guys aware of it. So the water systems, all our wells are still active while 5 is still down. You will see that as of October, all of the filters were online except for filter C, and filter 1 has been online. That's the new filter at Willow as of 10/10/24. And as of yesterday, filter C has been taken offline and abandoned in place. So you'll see that go to offline permanently. We'll probably remove it from the report, and we're running through AV and filter 1 now. So pretty good trending for the water system for this time of year. Hypochlorite usage is going down, and Newport's carrying the load. We start getting a lot of usage on that side of town. So, next slide, please. You can see our 12-month trending, so we're starting to get back where we normally are this time of year. And you can see Newport start to, or that's generally about the last month that Newport really has a drastic lead over Willow, which just starts stabilizing. Next slide. We are about to start having the unidirectional hydrant flushing, so we're trying, if the weather permits and we don't get a whole bunch of stormwater accumulation or anything, we're going to try to do most of the flushing the week after Thanksgiving. So you will see us out there doing flushing from each of the plants out. We will hit practically every hydrant in the system. So it'll take us about a week or so if the weather's good. We will avoid any potential flooding zones and things like that. If it does rain, we'll cancel and postpone it to better weather. So, valve exercise will be done at the same time or alongside of that. All of our required reporting is submitted. No water quality complaints and no violations. Next slide, please. All of our list areas are active. Nothing really to report on the collection system. We did have a power outage on Sunday. Actually affected us pretty hard. It was a quick power outage for the most part, which is great. The collection system didn't suffer too much, but we lost complete comms with wastewater treatment plant 2. So that had us running that treatment plant on manual. And that's a real good experience for my operators that don't generally get to do that. So we had lessons learned. They got some real experience, and the plant runs smoothly without any diversions. So, next slide, please. Wastewater flows, we're looking pretty good. You're going to see that the effluent flows are going to pick up a little bit because we're going to speed up, try to lower the levels to be ready for storm. But other than that, we're looking pretty good. And as you can tell, your favorite number there is 2247. We have, and that's as of October, October's date, so as of November 1st. We've got 2 more samples the rest of this year, November's and December's. Honestly, worst case scenario, those 2 can't be high enough to exceed the existing permit limit, so we will not exceed for the calendar year. And remember that come new permit, January 1st, there is no longer a limit in the permit. So we will be done with, we will stop the monitoring.
Is that a 2,400 now that we're at?
2,400.
2,400 a lot. It was 21, they raised it, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The other growing number that the town and the Citizens Bank is very good money for is nitrates. If you look at that number, we're denitrification system is doing what it's supposed to be doing. So, next slide, please.
Has that been pretty flat since we went into production?
That's five or six. We don't really have an ammonia problem anyway. But what we do to ammonia, it's the nitrogen cycle, right? What we do to ammonia increases nitrates increase, and then what we do to nitrates increases nitrites. So it's kind of a happy balance, but we've done fairly well. Like I said, the lowest we've seen is five, and the highest we've seen is six since we technically started.
No trends then, that's good.
No, that's good. And then, the wastewater flows, not quite like the water, pretty stable all year. Nothing really to report there.
And I got a question on that chart though.
Sure.
I can't figure out.
Yep.
You mean numbers. I can't figure out the numbers underneath the months. What do those correlate to?
The numbers underneath what? The side or underneath? Underneath
where it
the
says, okay, January 36.4. What's 36.4?
Million gallons. So that's actually what the plant, what the wastewater influent.
Why is the, okay, and then what's the scale on the left then?
That's per day.
Huh?
That's per day.
Oh, that's total per day. Okay.
So, and that's an average.
They don't really correlate with each other. Okay.
No.
They don't. It didn't make sense. All right. I'm with you. Because the highest daily was one of the lower months total.
That is correct.
Okay.
So what you're looking at is actually, what that's showing you is a comparison of how the average and the total has compared through.
That's such a flat chart. That stays pretty flat.
Wastewater.
It's not seasonal as our water is.
Water is very seasonal, but it's great. And remember, we got a lot of acreage of lagoons and stuff that we can hold back. So this is just what's coming in the plant and what we're about to leave the plant. So that's why it's pretty stable. And now the big drastic changes on wastewater, right now, mostly. So,
well, of course, there's a spike in July, though. I wonder what's happening in July.
July, we intentionally, so what you're seeing is the spike, we intentionally ran effluent down because we had denite was done. The diffuser was done. We intentionally ran the wastewater plant hard to make it reach max capacity to make sure we could actually flow at max capacity if we ever needed to. So that's why July was kind of
okay.
Next slide, please. That's our collection system. So no wastewater complaints, no SSOs. We did haul another round of bio solids, so that 210 for the year will go up. I don't have the actual report from last year added yet, but I will have by the next report. Cattail removal is being mitigated in the permit, so that'll go away. And we are almost completely done with our annual lift station cleanouts. We still have to do the Newport Drive and Discovery Bay Boulevard at SORAD, but everything else is done. And we're almost done with all of our paint and labeling. So even though the birds have repainted over our fan.
Is that a typical month of hauling? That's expensive.
No, so keep in mind when the 210, that's high, that's technically about a year and a half worth of solids.
I was going to say, we're not doing that again.
We have ramped up hauling because we've been processing solids very hard. What we're doing is getting a lot of the built-up solids out of the bottom of the lagoons, and things are 16 feet deep. So we've been processing as fast as we can,
okay,
as hard as we can to make room. Also, the rain event that hit us last year, we had everything dry for the year. We were ready to haul. Rain hit us, and we had to re-dry. So we didn't get it last year.
Because it was all stored outside. Yeah.
That's right. So that's why you're going to see higher numbers.
Okay.
Other than that, anyway.
Are we having any problem with our farmer next door? I've noticed he's doing the same project again.
He just started opening that tarp and hauling. If y'all been by there, I think it was yesterday or day before. I tried to get a little video and a couple of photos. Fortunately, the wind wasn't blowing on us, so it was staying pretty much right there.
I happened to pull up right behind one of his trucks, and he's just taking it across the street up to that other farm over there.
So we're watching. We're doing the best we can to help the town but it's a nuisance.
His truck looks like Pigpen when he's driving it, though. I mean, it's just flying off it all over the place.
Yeah. So we're trying to get it, but we're stuck.
Thank
you. One last thing. Congratulations. I'm sure everybody on their board. And for Marty. Congratulations, Marty, if you're still listening to me. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony.
All right, with that, let's move to discussion and possible action, item E1.
Tonight is looking for approval to upgrade our irrigation system at Cornell Park. So we've been working toward upgrading our irrigation system to work smarter, more efficient. What I'm going to do is introduce, and he's not on the line. Noe Cruz. We brought this to the Park and Rec Committee meeting. It wasn't a Brown Act meeting, so there was no action taken. I can do my best to explain our goals, what we're looking to do as far as upgrading our irrigation. The thought is to start at Cornell Park. That's one of, you know, a town park, not county. Start there. HydroPoint data systems sells WeatherTrack, which is a system, a controller that we've had years ago that we still have at Cornell Park. But we don't have the data, everything hooked up to use it effectively. What it does is, it's for water conservation. It can give us automated reports, helps with staff's time management. What we see happening a lot lately is everything's aging out. It's so old that something will get stuck on. We had this a lot over the summer on a Friday. Always seems to happen on a Friday in the evening. Something a sprinkler will get stuck on. We're not here, and it runs all weekend. What this program does, one of the benefits, is that it will alert us to our tablets, to our phones, anything when something's happening that shouldn't be. And it we can manually turn it off right from wherever we are. But we'll also have a sensor in there that can shut it off for us and alert us. So those are the things that we're really looking to improve on. They've offered a, I was going to introduce Noe Cruz.
Can we try to message him by any chance? Do you have his email? No.
I checked with him earlier. He said he was going to be here, and I know he's from Long Beach, so he must have run into a problem. Some of the goals also in putting this in, I'm sorry, some of the benefits is that they will completely train our staff. So we've got that on hand whenever we need help to teach us how to use the system properly. There's a 10-year manufacturer's warranty and data plan. Every time a technology upgrades, it will also include those upgrades so that we're not having additional fees for that. They also have offered in here a pilot program so we can try it out at no cost. If we like the system, then we would move forward with purchasing the whole thing for that $24,000 number.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, thank you.
I second that.
What?
Being somebody that's dealing with other, not the town landscaping, but other landscaping, and it's like whack-a-mole. You fix one area, and then another area breaks, and you fix one area, because it's all getting old. And so if we can improve that and be more proactive than reactive, I think that's a great idea.
And we will still, you know, have to send staff out to fix things as they break. This isn't going to solve that, but what it will help is pinpoint exactly where and what the problem is. So then we can go out and take care of that and reduce our water waste with it just running all weekend or all evening, that kind of thing.
There you go. Because if you can turn off a portion of the system remotely, that's huge.
Right.
Absolutely huge. Because everybody's calling all the time saying, hey, your sprinklers are going.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, you guys are the water department. Why aren't you conserving water? So I think in the long run, it's a really good idea.
I would like to, if we could, take a quick pause and see if there's any public comment on this topic. Do we have anyone in the audience that has any public comment? Any online?
No hands are raised.
Okay, and then let's bring it back to the board for further discussion.
So this does have control system to let us know if we have anything that's constantly running or...
Exactly.
Is there any... So would we... I'm just trying to get a little more information.
Yeah, and I'll do my best to...
Are you kidding? Believe me. These are simple questions. Okay, so right now... Obviously, it's supposed to rain a lot for the next week. And so, if it does start raining, let's say on a weekend, is that something, can this system automatically respond to that? Or would we manually have to go in and say, don't run on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, in the wind, like right now, it's off anyway. So
yeah.
We run right now, our irrigation is only coming on one day a week. In our zones for, I think it's 3 minutes, and that's just to exercise.
Right.
Make sure nothing kind of freezes up and keep it going. But yeah, other than that, we have everything off during this type of
Okay, period. And in the springtime when we sometimes get showers, and then 2 weeks later we get another one, is that something it automatically does, or we manually have to go in and say it's going to rain, don't?
I would think we would have to manually go in,
okay.
But I can find that.
I would say you would have to go in.
Yeah, I thought maybe it has that feature to automatically do it. Yeah, okay.
So, I had some questions I don't know that you're going to have the answers to.
Okay.
And
if you want, I can find out in...
Yeah, and I know that you won't have the answers, so no stress.
That's okay.
What I was curious about is, have we done the analysis on ROI, so do we know the average... cost of our water bill per year? Have we looked back to see how much potentially with water savings this would return in savings off that water cost? I'd also like to know what the cost to replace our existing controller with another dumb controller. Obviously, we know the cost to staff, but if what the approximate cost was, because $24,000 is not crazy, it's also not inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not comparing this to my home unit that I have.
You mean like a Rainbird type of thing?
Yeah.
Because
so I have a smart controller at the house. Was $300. Seems to do everything this one does. Again, I'm not making that comparison. I'm just saying I want to make sure that we understand how much would this thing in turn save us enough in our staff costs and our watering costs to make up for the difference between this and another dumb controller?
Well, the only part of that I do know the answer for, because a few months ago we had to buy a new controller,
okay.
36 station, because there's a lot of stations on, and
sure.
The controller and the pedestal were almost $12,000.
Okay, so that's good to know. Okay. And then I did not see anything in the bids. Is there any ongoing software maintenance costs?
No.
Okay, so everything is one-time cost, 10 years.
Yep.
Okay.
And then even in here, we note that they ensure the controller stay connected for 10 years with no additional costs. If it goes 4G, 5G, that's all part of that one-time
And hardware failure is included?
Let me see, I wrote it in here.
So let's say, because they're obviously going to use a cellular modem, right? So if the cellular modem dies... That's not technically
upgrade. Well,
it says
10-year manufacturer's warranty and data plan.
Okay, and so that's on all parts.
Correct.
For the controller.
Yes.
Okay, got it. And then my last question, I did not see anything in here about any like soil moisture sensors, so it's simply doing it based on your parameters that you program, like soil type, zone information, like, you know, we're in whatever agricultural zone we're in.
Ask me that.
There's no soil detection for moisture in different areas. It's all just based on we input, like we have this kind of soil. It's sandy or it's, you know, clay or whatever.
I don't know the answer
okay.
to that. Okay.
Just wondering how smart it is.
Smarter than me.
I'm an irrigation hobbyist, if you can't tell.
No, I can get answers to those.
That'd be great.
Sorry he's not here this evening.
Yeah, no, I wish he was, but that's okay.
Yeah, we can do that and bring it before then.
A couple things. So if I remember correctly, Noe had mentioned that if we implement this and rolled out throughout the entire town, that the warranty would start after the last unit was installed.
No, I clarified that.
Okay.
That had to strictly do with a benefit he was, because I talked to him about it after. It's a benefit to their client if we want to have one bill. So he said a lot of municipalities might, this might be a 3 to 5 year project to roll it out in all their areas. So some places want to just have one bill, and they'll they work with those that want that to kind of make that bill retro so that you're getting one bill. But warranty, so if we installed this today at Cornell, it's 10 years from today. Then in a year and a half, if we do it at Ravenswood Park, the 10-year at Ravenswood Park starts on the day you put it in.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That was too sweet of a deal.
No, I got clarification on that.
And I'm not sure, this might be, does the town charge, do we charge ourselves for the water consumption?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so. Yeah.
So we can look that up.
We are paying for it.
Parks pay the water department for the water, yes.
Got it, okay. I wasn't sure if they, so there is an ROI then from that standpoint.
Well, in hearing the cost of a dumb controller, that was quite a bit larger than I anticipated.
$300?
I knew it was going to be 300. Come on, I'm not doing that. I'm simply saying that, you know, but having the convenience of a single console for every irrigation station in the town would be
awesome.
Beneficial.
I have a quick question on like the trial cost. Mm-hmm. So there's the $4,600. Does that go in? So if we do the trial and then decide to move forward, is that come off the $24,000?
The $24,000 is the total turnkey, so it would be more than that. So that's factored into that that part. Does that make
kind of?
So I read this, and maybe I read it differently than you did, that there was no cost for the trial, that's the value of the item.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
I read it incorrectly. Thank you.
Right, you explained that better. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's
and
correct.
Do we have a, the install for the valves, I'm assuming that this requires new valves throughout, right?
So let me explain that part. I want to make sure that that's clear as well. So the trial is basically for us to learn how it works. It's like a free trial. They'll put it in, and we get to play with it, test it for 90 days, see if we like it. That's not, the trial isn't going to have the flow, the sensor.
Shut offs and everything.
That, right. So we won't get a real sense for that price, but that then goes into, and in here should be, yeah, so you can see on the quotes where everything that they would do as part of that. So it's the $16,000, the $7,600, and then, yeah, the $4,000, which gets gifted. But so really this trial is to see if all the data that we can get from it we would want to use, if it would benefit us. I'll tell you, I have spoken to three different companies within the industry. You know, we're using Jensen a lot right now to do our work, and I was telling him that you know, we're looking at this and going to be presenting it, and they rave about it. They said you are going to be so happy if you start switching over to this kind of a system. It's going to help you in more ways than you even realize right now. You have to kind of get into it and start playing with it like a toy to really get all the benefits of it. And I haven't, you know, had the opportunity to do that. That's why Nellie was supposed to be here.
Yeah, but as Director Graves had mentioned, I think it's makes sense. It's a good investment. Again, I asked the question at the Park and Recs meeting, just so the board has a understanding, though, if this is something that we're going to implement town-wide, well, how many of these units do we need? You know, how many of these $24,000 units? Is it going to be 10, 20? You know, just so we understand. And then once we understand that, then we could actually get a true ROI of whether or not it makes sense. And, you know, on paper, it sounds good, but
right.
I just think there's a couple missing data points.
And that's one of the things that we're working on landscape is going through to all of our controllers right now and getting all the data out of that. Cornell is bigger. This is just for Cornell Park. So then if we move to decide to do the control around Discovery Bay Boulevard and how much that, so that is something that we're currently working on getting all that information.
Honestly, I think since there's a 90-day trial, I think we should move forward with the trial, and that will give you 3 months to gather the data, and then you can come back, okay, here's how much it's going to cost for town-wide, here's what we've experienced with the controller, and based on all that.
It doesn't cost us anything.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So
in agreement with what you're saying, what I would like to see is an amended action where we approve the trial, get back some more information to allow you guys to continue to proceed with the trial and see if it's a good fit, but then also get back some of the information like Director Couteau was asking, what would this cost? You know, because I think it doesn't make as much sense doing it in one. You'd really want to do it everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So get back those costs to approximate everything you want to replace, get a total project cost while you're proceeding with a
trial.
So not necessarily in this meeting, I wouldn't necessarily want to say we want to approve going forward with the project at there, mm-hmm. start the eval there, knowing that we're waiting on the additional information.
Well, can't we make that amended?
Yeah, we can. I was just saying, that's what I would suggest.
So can we make, I'd like to make a motion to approve the trial with the status that we're going to get more information for the entire project for Discovery Bay. That's a good motion?
Yeah, you're within the Crown Act, so that's fine.
Okay.
As long as, Monica, does that make sense to you?
It does. Completely understand.
Okay.
Well, but does it also make sense procedurally to you, not just, or logistically for you? I mean, do you see an issue with us moving forward in that direction?
No, I think that's smart.
Okay.
We want to make the right choice, and if there's mm-hmm. more questions, then we wait and we find out the answers to all those questions, absolutely. But I agree. I think starting out with a trial to play with it, to get to know it, and in doing that, we're going to find more questions. Mm-hmm. And that's just going to help educate us to make the right decision for the town.
Excellent.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Is there a second?
Okay. Can we get a roll call up, please?
Well, I'm not done with discussion yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So there are areas within our landscape that are large, small, have these, don't have these. It's not known whether this would be necessary in all areas in Discovery Bay. You kind of jump to that, but is that really what you're talking about here, implementing this throughout every place we have an irrigation system?
I am. For example, the big one we had not long ago was right here on Discovery Bay Boulevard in Sandpoint. The water ran for 3 solid days, and we didn't know. Because it was over the weekend. That's not a, it's Discovery Bay Boulevard, but that's not one of our parks. That would, if we had this, myself, Matt, Dina, whomever we have has access to it, could have alerted us immediately, and I could have been at home, I could have been in Hawaii, I could have been anywhere, and I could have shut it off, and not had 3 days worth of water being wasted.
Okay.
So I would, and this is, I think, another great question. That's why I love having this discussion, is that perhaps something like in that case isn't probably going to be $24,000 because it's
mm-hmm. No, in reading through the quote, the majority of the cost is the additional stations that are necessary for a larger place. The actual controller itself supports, I believe, up to 12 stations, mm-hmm. and that might be sufficient for a small area, and that's at a quarter of the cost.
Okay.
So as an example, like
I somehow missed that. Okay.
So as an example, like it's on South Point, there's two little islands. Is that one controller? Is that two controllers there?
I don't have the answer to that. That's all the data that we're because I'm.
Mm-hmm. You know, understand? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm doing this for that. I'm gathering all that information. That's been quite a project. Yeah.
Top of everything. Right. And maybe we won't need it there because if you decide, hey, we can do a similar, zero water consuming kind of landscape solution, then maybe that could be eradicated. Leads right into it, so. But I think a motion, a second's been down, so.
So we have a motion, we have a second, we're done.
I'm done. Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'm savvy now.
Awesome. Roll call vote, please.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Couteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to discussion item E2. Is that Margaret?
That is Margaret, yes.
Yes, I'm coming on. I don't know why my video is not working. Yeah, I can't come off of a video. I'm not sure why. But I will start the presentation and then look forward to your questions. So the item before you today is to discuss the possible action to approve a software license agreement for a financial data software. In 2015, the district purchased Castell to process and report its financial data through its core financial modules and utility management to bill for water and wastewater usage. The current version of Castell's system has met its needs, but the efficiency of this current platform are waning to more modern ERP systems. Castell requires manual processes for module updates, manual scanning of financial documents, and some of the services are outsourced, which require manual entries that may result in posting errors if not properly checked. Over the past year, staff has been continuing to evaluate the system controls over financial tracking and reporting, including researching other financial software to identify what features the district could benefit from a modern ERP system. Through these ERP systems, the district would benefit from streamlining internal processes, reducing outsourcing of certain services, and providing added security features in addition to the following features, including a fully integrated system to reduce manual entries, real-time updates versus individual module updates at monthly intervals, a repository of fiscal financial records that eliminates the need for manual scanning, tighter access controls by user-defined rules, improved procurement tracking from requisition to contract spending, accounts payable automation that performs OCR, optical character recognition, scan of invoices and electronic approval, human resource module for payroll processing, onboarding, and benefit tracking, additional report options, and then an online user community. Staff participated in software demonstrations with two potential vendors that each have had competitively bid under a cooperative agreement. We did request a third one, but we are not of the correct size for them. They deal with much larger entities, and so they were not able to provide that demo for us. After those demos, we did want to get a total understanding of the cost picture, comparing the general estimate of those systems to in real dollars. And so we wanted to introduce this comprehensive new financial software may result in sort of more direct cash outlay to the district, but it would also allow us to have greater oversight of management and staff, security access, and business efficiency, thus allowing us to have saved time on processing to focus on more analysis to provide an overall benefit to the district. Staff did present an update at the October 2nd Finance Committee where there was general support for the software replacement, but they did express concern on the overall total cost. So staff did reach out to the two companies to further review their costs to receive the best and final offer. Based on staff's review, we did compare the demos, which staff did involve in this process. We looked at the system features, which I'll review in a moment. We looked at their installed systems here in California. We looked at the cost, both on the annual and the implementation cost, and we also made reference checks across the board. So based on this, all of the above effort through the past year, staff is recommending Tyler Technologies Incorporated for its solution to replace Castell. The software as a service license agreement is attached for you in Exhibit A, and it has been reviewed by staff and legal, and the final negotiating terms have been incorporated. So as to the comparison of the two softwares, based off of Castell, which is our current platform, to Tyler ERP Pro, which is the preferred recommendation to replace it. You can see sort of that side-by-side comparison. So you can see that there are additional features that we will be receiving through this new modern ERP system. And again, I've highlighted those above. Since the October Finance Committee, staff was able to negotiate a further reduction on the cooperative pricing on the one-time cost from $117,000 down to $100,000 with about a 15% discount, in addition to those discounts that are there from the cooperative agreement. In addition, we were able to cap future rate increases on the annual license fee for a not to exceed a 3% for years 4 and 5. The first 3 years would be at the same price. Years 4 and 5 would have a not to exceed of 3%. And then subsequent years would be at the current market rate, which is about 5 to 6%. So that's what we're able to negotiate. So overall, staff was able to negotiate an annual license savings of about $3,000 per year, and again, with a total cost savings of about $22,000, most of it up front. So with that, the recommendation here today is to consider Tyler Technologies for the software implementation fee and incur the cost of implementation of $100,269 and the annual license fee. The second is to authorize the general manager to execute the software license agreement with Tyler Technologies for the software implementation and the annual license fee, and then authorize the general manager to execute any change orders for Tyler Technologies up to 15% of the implementation cost of $100,269. And with that, I'll pause to see if you have any questions.
Any questions from the board? This did go to finance. Do we have some questions from finance or some explanation from finance?
We actually asked our questions at the meeting, and one concern that we both had was the cost. So I'm thrilled to hear your and
correct.
Yeah, Ashley is as well, that you all went back and were able to negotiate a better deal. We like better deals. So
I think we were happy with how much more it added mm-hmm. to our finance systems. And again, our only concern was the cost, and it looks like we've been able to negotiate down some of that. And even though it's a little bit more than the other company, I think the benefits outweigh what that cost is, and we'll probably see some savings in other places because of the software.
And the increased efficiencies will pay for themselves over time. And this, what we are currently using was from 2011.
I mean, 2015 is when we acquired Cassell, so we've been on the system, coming up on 10 years.
Yeah.
No, it's 2011. Sorry, Margaret. We purchased it before I even came
okay.
to town. I was in charge of implementing.
Needless to say, systems have changed greatly since that time.
Yeah. Is there is Cassell still under maintenance?
So we pay an annual license fee to them, and again, that amount stated in the board report of, I think it's about $18,000. So again, you can see it's considerably higher, but again, we have other costs because they're outsourced, we have other costs because of those things. And again, the software platform that you see here today is sort of a one-stop shop, so it allows us to do a lot of things under one roof as opposed to different things. But the license agreement that we have with the Cassell is, like I said, on an annual basis, and because we've had it so long, and sorry, it showed 2015 in the system, I'm not sure why it doesn't show 2011.
That's great. I mean, old is old. It's
good.
I'd like to open for public comment. Do we have any public comment on the topic? Any online? Okay, with that, I will close public comment and bring it back.
I guess maybe clarifying questions. I heard lots of buzzwords and lots of terminology that I'm not necessarily super familiar with. In the simplest of terms, and maybe Dini could help me out here, can you just kind of explain what we currently have and why, and what we're trying to accomplish by this new software program?
What we currently have is a system. So I came from the software industry before coming to this government agency. This software was archaic back then. So it doesn't have hyperlinks. It's very cumbersome. It's very difficult to use. It doesn't do reporting very easily. conferences, and I, you know, stayed to the last day so that I could give feedback, and still the feedback I gave, none of those, they didn't even know what that stuff was.
And this software is used by our billing department, is that what it is?
It's used by all of us, and discover anything in finance. It's
okay.
Used by. So it was implemented for billing, and then when I came to the town, I implemented the rest of the modules, which are the HR. They do not feed into each other very easily. Every time they do upgrades, it's very clunky, and they don't tell us what the upgrades were, and so it causes some unrest within the system, and then Margaret has to do journal entries or find out where things went. So it is a very difficult system. So it is outdated. It's a little archaic, I would say. Now, Tyler Technologies is none of that. So I'll let Margaret kind of tell you a little bit more. She was really heavily into that with the finance team of looking into the system. So this system has hyperlinks. The reporting is a lot better and more robust. The features in it are easier to use. It will definitely help us move forward in the finance world or in our finance department. So the finance team seemed to really like it. They loved all the features in it. I know Margaret really liked it. We did look at Oracle, and we looked at another option, which was, I came from PeopleSoft, so we looked at Workday. Workday has a government space, but we are too small. And so that actually hinders us as well, is how our size. There aren't that many options out there for us to look at. So we utilize CSDA to find some reference points. We've called other agencies. So I've been hearing about Tyler for a little while with other government agencies. Other people I've talked to seem to really like it as well. We're super users. I push the limit of Cassell all the time, and I think we will push this as well. We love to do reporting. We love to download things into Excel and pivot tables and all that kind of stuff. So I think this, I know, graphing. So I think these features will really help us give you a better financial outlook and, you know, move us into the future so that we can do financial planning.
And I would imagine also it's going to have staff time savings that would offset the cost.
It will. We won't be doing so many duplicate things. When you move, you have to add. So you take the AP module, you have to actually manually push a button to update it into the GL module. If something messes up, then you're spending a ton of staff time. Excuse me, trying to find what went wrong. Then you're calling Cassell. You're spending time with them on the phone. You know, it's very difficult. So hopefully this will streamline our, you know, lines of business.
I'd like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
I have a quick question. In today's world, even though I don't think that we're doing it currently in that we have anybody that's working remotely, but it looks to me by some of the assets here with time management that this has a capability for logging in and tracking people that are working remotely, Margaret?
Correct, yes. I mean, you can, like currently I log in through a VPN to access Cassell, if you will, but this system is a online platform. It's supported by Amazon Web Services, so, you know, it is a fully
if somebody happened to work remotely, we could track their time when they're on the computer and logged into the system, and then we would be able to track down.
Yeah. Yes, we certainly can do that. And like I said, I mean, what's good about this feature too is just, again, the time savings. I mean, you know, I will sit for hours. I'm just going to tell you to wait for an update to a system. So, you know, I have to turn to staff to help me in doing some of my work, if you will, because it just takes hours for me to update. Scanning goes away. I mean, there's just a lot of benefits for a modern system. And what I didn't mention, I should just mention, is that what's nice is that there are neighboring communities that are using this platform. So if we have any questions beyond the sort of the online platform, we have, you know, neighboring cities and neighboring community service districts, you know, that use the system as well. So, you know, we'll have the advantage of just, you know, being in a community of users as we navigate through this. The implementation itself takes about 9 months to 12 months there, but, you know, certainly going through this process here, we'll get some more defined process here, and all of that is outlined within the document in Exhibit A.
And is it safe to assume that security controls, two-factor, all of that's been looked at?
Yes,
Absolutely, yes. And what's nice about this too is just it's user defined. So right now it's like it's based off of what your role person, who your person is, not necessarily who your what your role is. And so it allows you to make sure that you have proper segregation of duties so that no one is doing more than that they should, and that the people are, you know, having the appropriate sort of backup and support to it. And it's well audited, if you will, as to the transactions that you, you know, that if I take something, you will know that Margaret made a change here because it date stamps what I did. So.
I just have one more question. So typically, how long can we expect to use the software before we have to upgrade again, or is that an impossible question to answer?
Well, I mean, I will say that, you know, the 10-year time frame is probably is a good place for you to be. I mean, they, you know, what's nice about, you know, paying your software licenses is as they make updates, you get the updates too. But typically speaking, I mean, I don't know how many more things they can actually do. It's pretty spectacular, actually, what this platform does, but they continue to find ways to be able to do it. But I would say, on average, IC systems, I know from my previous experience, about 10 years is when you start to think, do I have the right system in place and what, you know, for the needs that I have? And so I think as the agency grows, as the town grows, you know, to support its community, you know, this system will be able to, we will be able to grow with it. So we do, so I should clarify too, that we have unlimited seats. So if there is a new person that comes in, it doesn't cost us anymore. So we can have the entire staff participate in, you know, reading reports. So I don't necessarily need to generate reports. The reports can actually be created and sent to them at regular intervals, you know, so choosing. So if Monica wants to find something out about what landscape spend is, she would have that report given to her. I don't have to run it for her.
Any further questions? Nope. Entertain a motion.
I already made a motion.
Mm-hmm. So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Porter, aye. Director
Jones? Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Aye. President Kelly.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on, FGH.
Nothing under F this evening. I have one item under G, General Manager's Report. Tomorrow we are holding our first violence prevention training. The office will be just shut down for a few hours while we go through, the entire staff goes through that training. So, training that's going to be ongoing for the rest of our lives here.
Awesome. Thank you. And then any director's reports?
Yes,
I don't have anything, but
yes,
I forgot something.
We had a meeting today. Special.
Oh.
Go for it.
We had a special water, is that where we're at? Okay. Water, wastewater committee meeting today where Josh from Mobile Modular came and gave us a presentation, which he will be bringing to the board at our next board meeting with some pretty good numbers and renderings and facts and figures. And I think you should all be excited to finally see this stuff. We sure were excited to finally see it. So that'll be coming to the board at the next meeting, anticipating moving forward with the new building.
So will there be a vote at that meeting to approve?
I'm sorry?
Is the anticipation that will there be a vote to approve moving forward?
That would be the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
It's
been a long road.
Thank you. And then, item I, do you have, did you have something you wanted to?
Yes, I'll jump in right now. So today, this is regarding the proposed development across the street. Today I spoke with Will Nelson and Sid, and I'm going to destroy her last name, Sudute, both our senior planners with Contra Costa County, regarding the property, as I said, across the street. The USA Properties has submitted the development plan application, which that is the next step in this building that they want to build. The application has been submitted, and there's a 30-day review period. During this 30 days, information will be sent out to us, to Fire, Public Works, County, anyone involved, to go through the plan and note if there's anything missing or if the application is fine as it stands. If there is any, are any items that are incomplete, then the 30 days starts all over again. It gets sent back and 30 days starts all over again. Now, what they did not know at this point in time if the developer, USA Properties, was proposing that it be under the streamlined permit process that Andy talked to us about at the last meeting. Because should that happen, and that's what it's going under, then as you're aware, that was told to us, we would have little, if none, leverage on what we want to see or not see, what needs to be, you know, what our thoughts are on transportation, on streets, on anything. It's and that is by design, the California legislative body. That's exactly why they wrote it the way they did, because they did not want, they wanted to hurry and get all this building done. And do you have any questions on that, anybody? It's not good news, but we can still hope. Ashley has.
Did you have a chance to ask them about the public works requirements for Highway 4? That
yes, and with if they do go under the streamlined permit process, doesn't matter anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. It said yeah. Anyway, he went into this long explanation about cars going up and down the street and what counts, what doesn't, and yeah. So.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yes.
Can we ask staff? I know that it sounds like it's all said and done, but can we ask staff to reach out to the developer and maybe get a meeting with county, fire, the developer, sheriff, if that's possible, and then maybe report back? And just, you know, sometimes it's better to have sugar instead of salt, and maybe we can start a discussion with them before it gets crazy. It may help, it may not, but at least we're trying, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think it's fine idea.
When will they know, though, which route they're going as far as?
We actually should know soon. The report should come to Dina, and I asked both of them to please keep us in the loop to let us know, and we should know as soon as we see the application if they're trying to go under the streamline permit process.
But if they don't go under the streamline, then those requirements would apply then,
yes.
Potentially.
Yeah, so let's hope.
Great, thank you. Okay, so anything legal? No? Future agenda items for the board? With that at 8:03, we'll adjourn. Thank you.